Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Word on the Street podcast, where we take God's Word and make it plain and simple for everyone's everyday life, basically. Hello, Tripp. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you, Maddie?
I'm doing swell. Doing good. So, orienting yourself in this way with God is like, this is the most important thing. And you could expand on this, where sin basically leads to death.
Yeah.
Right? In biblical terms, sin leads to death.
Yeah.
So when you're following that path we mentioned earlier, that sort of narrow path where you're being the best version, you're doing everything that you can to improve your community's life, your family's life, and your life, the best version of yourself, then your decisions matter. You know?
Right.
Your decisions matter. And, you know, with depression, I think that's missing.
Yeah. I always struggle with depression. And it's hard because someone told me that, this was hard to hear, that depression is it's a selfish burden, or it's a selfish feeling, or it's a selfish experience. And at first I'm like, well, no, wait a minute, because I'm not choosing to be depressed, I'm not choosing to be selfish. But then I thought, well, what is depression? It separates you from people, because in your mind, how could they understand what I'm going through? And then it isolates you, because then, well, I don't want to be with, I don't want to feel that way and have everyone judging me and not understand. And so I guess in that way, it's sort of passively, it's like forced
self-isolation.
And I think the trap in it is then you're disconnected from that ideal living we were talking about, because humans are a hurting, we're wired for community, we're a hurting species. Yep. We're meant to be together. Yep. So if we're disconnecting from that, then that's actually harmful for yeah. us. And I'm yep. not saying it's a choice. I struggle with depression, and it just falls on you, and you don't have a choice. And that's why I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that selfish statement. But if you step back from it, it makes it, it's a very self-focused yeah. experience.
Yeah. 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 Self kind of loathing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the other side of it is like, you're not, when you are isolated, you're not contributing
yeah.
to the group, to the community, to your connections.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it can't be underestimated how much your contributions can change other people's lives around you.
Right.
Right. Like, in a family structure, whether or not you're connected to your family, with your friends, your community, you know, it makes a big difference. Every person makes a big difference and is a part of the community.
Amen. Well, and maybe that's how we reclaim, maybe that's a way we reclaim that survival fight. You know, maybe it's in trying to do these things that God wants us to do. When we are depressed, when we are anxious, when we are in anger, you know what I mean? That's a battle. That's like a survival fight, right?
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be angry, and yet I'm feeling like the Hulk is coming. I'm turning green, and there's a point where the green doesn't, it takes over. That's a battle.
I did a mental health podcast called Maddie's Mental Health Podcast, and I did 90 episodes where I just talked to people and let them share their experience with mental health, like their mental health story.
That's awesome.
And thank you. And a lot of them had depression. Like there was a lot of depression, anxiety, and lots of different things, but many of them had depression. And there was kind of like a archetypal story that I heard that how they got better. And the things they did to get better was like they started connecting with their family. It's like almost like they slowed down a little bit. They started connecting with their family, drinking water, eating at normal times, getting some exercise,
resting. But like
resting, making sure sleep was good. And they kind of like, I guess would like orientate themselves towards a goal. That would be the other thing. But one of the biggest parts was connection and how they were connecting with their family, like checking in with their family all the time, with their friends, and exercise, diet, nutrition. And it's almost like...
But that connection can be hard, though, when you're the one struggling with depression and anxiety. Do I trust my family enough to have some grace with how I'm feeling to not judge me?
Yep.
Because if as soon as I feel that, I'm out.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah, it's not always that simple, right? But for those people, their family, I guess, were supportive.
Yeah.
But the reason I bring that up was just to say, like, a lot of these things with connection or God's orientation or, you know, like the commandments, it's like if you follow those, it kind of... It's kind of leading you towards that same path of,
yeah,
like the way rails. The way out of depression is what I'm saying.
That's interesting. Yeah, you're right, because Paul says if one of us is hurting, we're all hurting. Mm-hmm. So, we need to be gently and lovingly checking in with each other, bearing each other's burdens, and then so there goes the isolation, right? That's one of the best ways out of depression is someone there with you. And for me, when they say, I can't really understand what you're going through, but I'm just here and I know what you're feeling and I'm just here. That for me, I think is one of the best. I'm already thinking outside of myself. It's like, I'm already starting to climb out. Just that I know there's someone there that's not going to try to fix me, that's not going to try to tell me where I messed up, tell me where I could have done better, because that's just going to push me even more down. Mm-hmm. I think that's another reason, which goes to this, we're wired for togetherness, is we really, we've also lost the, as a species, that sort of apprenticing mentorship relationship where, it's kind of like a, you know, like in these addictive groups, they have sponsors. We need life sponsors or discipleship sponsors, living sponsors, you know, because not everyone in your family is going to understand, like I said. But yet if you have one or two trusted people that you know I can go to and tell them I'm struggling with this or I did this, they're going to tell me I messed up, but they're just going to be there for me. They're just going to listen because I was there for them when they, you know, when their life fell apart. We need those relationships. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, I'm spiraling, you know, Maddie, I'm spiraling, you know, I'm really depressed about XYZ. Can you come over? 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, Trip, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it seems like as a society, we've gotten more and more separated. And with social media, it's kind of like made it more so.
Yeah. Isn't it weird? We're so connected in many ways, yet it's a false connection. Mm-hmm. Because social media is kind of like a wall. We can say whatever we want, but there's nothing personal.
Yeah, and it's almost like you're connected with people but you're not. Yeah. Like you see people from high school or people you used to be friends with, and like you see their pictures and stuff. So it kind of feels like you're still connected with them.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen them or talked to them in years.
They're not in your life.
Yeah. Whereas like, you know, before, and you grew up in this time, so you would have a perspective on it. Like people just got out of the house more before the internet. And like, you actually had to go visit people if you wanted to see them and talk to them, and people probably appreciate it. Like I think of like my parents and my grandparents' generation, like there's a lot more visiting, there was a lot more connection, mm-hmm. there's a lot more like just appreciation of another human being in front of you that you can connect with.
Time on people's porches or in their kitchens, right? I mean,
yeah, like come over for a tea.
Yeah,
like I wonder like if my generation will have, I think it might kind of turn, but there's a lot less of like in my generation, I think of come over for a tea or something, you know?
Yeah.
In general. But bringing that back to Benefits of God, I think, you know, that's kind of what's
expected in our living, right? I mean, Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to listening to the teachings, but they were in each other's houses, not just with communion, but just with meals. Mm-hmm. They were busy in their lives, living in other people's houses, sharing everything in common. Yeah.
And even like church, you know, like there's not that many places now where you, every week you see a community of people.
Right. Well, and if you look at the early church, it wasn't a once a week thing. Church was daily.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The teachings would be the weekly, whether it was Saturday or Sunday at the temple, they'd go as a group and then see the other groups in the community and in the region. But then Sunday to Saturday or Monday to Friday or whatever it is, they were in each other's lives, fellowshipping, breaking bread, doing their jobs, but seeing how what they were doing now that they found this new faith and this new existence, how can that change what I'm doing now in my job? How can that change and affect the community in a good way? It's a perspective orientation thing. It goes back to that. Where is your perspective, your mindset? Where is your life and your heart oriented? Because it affects everything.
Something else will get in there after you don't choose what's oriented.
Right.
You know, even maybe subconsciously, like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you do it enough, it's ingrained then in your, you know, people say like ingrained in your DNA, it's in my DNA or it's in my subconscious, then it's like you do something so much that it just becomes not just a habit, but like a reflexive, you're not even thinking about the way you're living. And there's that peace, you know, it's just a part of me now.
I think the other part of it as well is how this all can be an adventure. So I know we have talked about this, but I think the general kind of consensus of being a Christian, at least from my perspective, my generation, what I thought for years was like, it's kind of boring.
Yep.
You know, like, oh, you go to church on Sunday, you wear like a button up shirt and you're very quiet and meek and good. Don't do anything bad. And it's almost like there's almost, I don't want, maybe ignorance is not the right word, but like blissful ignorance.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my perspective.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about like the socially awkward kid at school that's really in a church or something.
Yeah.
That's what you think of.
Right.
But, yeah. Taking on the highest possible good that you could possibly do is like the biggest adventure of your life, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest countercultural life choice you can make, which is, I think, an adventure in the truest sense of the word, meaning it's going to take courage. There will be times of fear where each step is hard, because, you know, coming to this faith is a process for, you know, well, you can attest to that. It's not just like a leap of faith and, okay, you know, let go of rational thinking and logic. No, it's calculated and strategic, but it's also learned, because there's so much we can't see. You know, it's Romans 1:20, for his invisible attributes, namely, and this is God, Paul talking about God, his eternal power and divine nature. Yeah, we believe in those, but we can't see them. It's invisible. How do you believe in something you don't see? The answer to that for someone who believes is, well, I experience God everywhere. And anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the adventure is, there are currents and forces in this fallen world that are working against us. That there just are. I mean, look at all of this stuff coming out in Hollywood about the darkness and signing blood covenants for success, and it's real. Can't deny it. So there are forces working against us. The adventure is living counter to them in the darkness. How do you continue to shine that light in you and make good choices and think about God and others, and then blessing your family and making a difference? I mean, that's counter world thinking.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any bigger adventure than that. And then when you try to read Paul and tap into this world that he talks about in Ephesians, that's all around us that we don't see, but this huge battle going on, even for little choices I can make to make a difference, there's an impact. I mean, that's a pretty big adventure.
Yeah. It's a lot bigger of an adventure than, like,
than any of us could ever even think, right?
Than any of us could think, and much more than sitting around playing video games.
Like, yeah.
I don't know what I'll do. I think maybe I'll order a pizza, or maybe I won't. What does it matter? Nothing matters.
Maybe I'll play Candy Crush.
So there's much more. And I think we plan to, like you said, it's a process, and we're planning on tackling each part of that as best we can, logically, scientifically, personally, emotionally, as best we can. So that's the plan going forward, is to tackle some of these issues historically. I think it's got to make sense to me. It had to make sense logically first.
Yeah.
It just did before. Yeah. Some people, it's different for everybody, but I imagine. But
if you think about that, Paul's very logical in a lot of his writings about changing the pattern of your thinking to a better way. I mean, there's psychology in that. There's, you know, God gave us these amazing, powerful brains to use them. We're not giving them up to become automatons. No, the best way to live in your faith is to be a free thinking, logical, rational, creative, expressive, innovative person for his kingdom. And you'll realize that that's not just peace, but that's purpose and significance and legacy and meaning and impact. And it's like, where do you get that in this world?
Well, that seems like a good place to end it. More to come soon.
Yes.
So that's been the Word on the Street podcast for this episode.